That the Spirit.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Good afternoon, Johnny. How are you going today?
I'm pretty good, actually. I just got back from Queenstown this morning, so
hey.
Nice to have a long weekend.
All the rich people go.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have got such an interesting topic for you to talk about this afternoon, Johnny, and your guest.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Jason. How are you?
Very well, thank you, sir.
Excellent. So I got this fascinating book called The Prophet and the Policeman. So prophet spelt with a P-H in the middle, not with an F. The story of Rua Kainana and John Cullen. And out of this book seems to have come the proposal from the head of the Māori Party, Te Eruera Flavel, that the prophet Rua Kainana would receive an official pardon. I bet you've no idea about the story about Rua Kainana.
I don't know a lot. So if you could give me as much background as possible, that would be superb.
Okay, well, don't say as much as possible. Never say that to a historian. A big mistake. But in essence, the Rua Kainana was a prophet in the broader Ringatū tradition founded by Te Kōti. Now, Te Kōti had prophesied there would be a further prophet to come. And Kainana believed that he was called to this role. And famously, in 1909, he announced that the King of England, Edward VII it was going to land on the beach at Gisborne. When Edward VII did not arrive at Gisborne, it didn't seem to damage Kainana's reputation at all. And he gained a huge following among the Tūhoe up in the Uraweras. You know that space, and you've heard of the Tūhoe tribe, one of the most isolated tribes in New Zealand, with some very influential members, most famous more recently for an interesting incident of supposed domestic terrorism.
Yes, yes, Peter. It's obviously recent history. Yeah.
Yes. So, I mean, I do think the Rua Kainana story sort of roughly illustrates why we should never have been surprised at the so-called terrorism. Because Kainana set up a kind of millennial kingdom at Māngāpahatū, deep in the hearts of the Uruwera country, almost completely inaccessible. And here he established an extraordinary parliament house and temple and astonishing buildings with the most amazing iconography based on a pack of cards. And he saw himself as bringing in, he was the new Messiah. And in 1916, this policeman, John Cullen, on orders from the government, arrested him for running an illegal distillery where he was, I think it was malting beer rather than anything else, and arrested him and put him into prison because they feared that he was leading a kind of revolutionary movement in the heart of the Uruweras. You see, these things, they have it come around and go around again and again.
It's a very similar sort of story. It's
not a dissimilar story, except I'm not sure that there was any millennial aspect to what happened in 2007, was it? So the idea that the Māori Party would seek a pardon for him is because, you know, it was just so utterly, utterly inappropriate to arrest him, though I don't doubt that Rua Kainana had to finance himself by a certain amount of illegal activity. But of course, this is where, if you're a prophet, your motivations may be entirely different from what can be thought of.
So why were they, what did they charge him with, Peter? Because what do you charge a prophet with? Like, is it a...
Oh, you charge him with having unlicensed guns, you see.
Right.
Unlicensed
classic
guns and...
Yeah. And beer.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. So you find charges like this. In that way, these were absolutely minor charges. But, you know, from the dog tax war of Northland in the 1890s, we know that there are plenty of examples in that period from the 1890s onwards that the Māori were kept, well, Pākehā prejudice against the distinctiveness of the Māori world was shown in, you know, just a series of ridiculous and trumped-up charges. And I think what it also shows is that the Māori religious world was so foreign to Europeans, they couldn't even penetrate it.
Well, it wasn't Christian Christianism, wasn't it? So that's where the main
Christian
problem.
But of a very different sort.
Yeah.
It is interesting that while Kanana was in prison, and as his movement sort of faltered, in fact, a group of Presbyterian missionaries, led by a fascinating man, John Lawton, who actually married a Māori woman, they came in, and Kanana entrusted to them the bringing up of the children. And so it became an interesting movement, which had touches of Presbyterianism and touches of Ringatū prophetism about it. And a little bit of that still survives to today, actually.
Interesting.
It is an, I mean, this is where the Māori religious world is just totally foreign to most of us with any European background. I mean, we wouldn't even though there's large numbers of people who call themselves Ringatū, because they don't have churches, they worship on marae, we wouldn't ever know Ringatū if we saw it. And the same is true of the continued following of Kainana. It's a very intriguing story.
Cool.
So they're getting an apology and a pardon.
Well, all we know, and I sent you a little link about that, is that this is the intention of the Māori Party, and presumably it's become part of their negotiations with the government. So I presume they're making progress on it. But part of the issue is Tūhoe wants to know the terms of the apology. Very sensibly, I would say. It's not as grand an apology as might be necessary for the shambles of the 2007 arrests, or even of the apology to gay people or whatever, because it's, in a way, quite an incidental and minor charge. But it was a deliberate attempt to break up a religious movement, and that's what's intriguing.
Thank you, Peter. It was enlightening.
Yes, it's a most interesting story.
All right. Well, hey, we'll speak to you next Monday.
Excellent. Look forward to it.
See ya.
See you, Peter.
Bye.
Does it need it? This?
Yeah.
Why not?
Do you know who Yuri G is?
No idea.
Ever heard of Yuri G?